Okay, welcome to the Cult TV Club, where we watch cult TV from 20 years ago and before, so you don't have to. We're here today with Cassandra.
Hey.
Mackenzie.
Hey.
Lisa.
May all your acquaintance be for... I don't know the words. That's okay.
Yeah.
All these lyrics.
Yeah. We're one of those acquaintances. Yes. Is Angus.
Hello. Bell. Wait, you want to forget me? No.
I want to forget.
We forget you every episode.
Should all acquaintance be forgot? That's
yeah.
Bela and...
Jeanette.
Just in case you forgot me.
Yeah. You were speaking.
Yeah. And this is Justin.
Yes.
Woo. Oh, I can't hi. Say that. No.
Yes. You're supposed to say hello, buddy.
Yeah, because obviously we don't know you're here.
Yeah. Yeah, we just think you're an omnipotent voice.
Mm. I am an omniscient voice.
Mm. Unreliable narrator.
Yeah. The reliable, unreliable voice. Reliably unreliable.
Yeah.
Okay, we're here today and we're going to talk about some of the things that we've watched this year outside Cult TV Club that we think people might be interested in or things to avoid. But these are shows that are probably, well, most will be 2024, but some will be earlier. I guess we'll kick off.
Well, let's do our group chat first.
If our group chat.
Yeah. We've got some overlap.
Yes, so we've got some TV shows that a lot of us have watched. So I guess we'll start with the first one.
So we've got Doctor Who on the list.
Yes.
So that's Doctor Who this year,
yes.
2024.
Yeah.
Cutie and Shitty.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
Isn't he just?
Yes.
Oh, can we talk about how amazing this man is?
He's good.
Yeah, he's a great actor. So much fun.
Yeah. And I've enjoyed his new series.
The episodes are really bouncy and fun and enjoyable.
Oh, yeah, especially in comparison to slogs we've had in the past decade.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
He's just a breath of fresh air.
I did go through and watched some of the Jodie Whittaker best episodes. So basically went through IMDb and just watched the best ones. And there are some good ones that are actually okay, that are actually fun.
Yeah.
But they've still got this kind of sabotaging message behind them, really kind of twisting the message, overdoing it in places. Mm. But I like all the characters.
It's all Tell Not Show.
Tell Not
that's
Show.
That's the worst part.
Yeah. He doesn't...
They show it, and it's fine, and then they tell as well.
Yeah.
I didn't need to be told, I got the message.
Yeah.
And now you've just annoyed me.
I don't even feel like we actually watched those Flux episodes.
No.
I think they were just background noise.
Yeah. They weren't on the list of well-rated episodes. They were not well rated.
And that was like
all.
A season
they were Flux.
In itself. Yeah. We were a different type of Flux.
I just stopped at the end of the second series.
When they trashed
Gallifrey, they trashed too much.
Yeah.
And they kind of retconned a whole heap of stuff.
Yeah. And it could have done it well, but no. Yeah. I'm hoping that they keep that kind of storyline intact, but make it not terrible. I got my own personal ideas to how to fix that to make it make sense.
Mm. It can work.
They introduced the Renegade Doctor.
Yeah.
And I think that would be great if they introduced that between the second Doctor and the third Doctor.
That's my immediate thought.
Yes.
Yeah.
Joan Martin was actually a really good Doctor.
She was.
She was great.
She would have been preferable, to be honest. Back to and Shooty. Yeah. I know that I've watched all of it and Angus has watched all of it, but how about you guys?
I've only watched the first six because I think life happened in the middle and I didn't get to watch it.
Yeah, for sure. What about you guys?
We watched them all, didn't we?
Okay.
Yeah. And so, we liked them. There was a few that are kind of in the whole Beatles without music one. I love Jinx Monsoon.
Jinx Monsoon
is my favourite. Played the maestro?
Yes.
I watched Jinx Monsoon on their first season of Drag Race and is an absolutely I could hold them in the highest regard. But I think the bit that got me, I got it and I got what they were trying to do, and they always have the episode where they bring in like a kind of a celebrity from real history or whatever.
Yeah.
But when they did the whole dance routine and the song routine in the end, I'm like, I really wish they did
more Beatlesque sort of music as opposed to the stuff that they did.
They had to try and keep it on the cheap, I think.
Yeah.
How can we do a Beatles episode without the budget?
Yeah.
The episode in itself was fine. I think it was just once they started doing the singing and dancing at the end, I just
I think I felt that way. So I watched the Christmas special and I absolutely adored it. I will not spoil any of it for you.
You know how
when you get to the end and it feels like let's just slap some tape on that and move on.
That
felt very heavily what it was at the end. It had like a very Barbie ending to it, where it was like, message! and then run away.
But you know, there are a few, because they always try to make the Christmas episodes stand alone. They've done that a few times.
Yes.
Yeah, like that one with Kylie Minogue feels like that. It's just...
I like that episode. Yeah, and you can't...
No, really liked it. I liked that episode, but it does feel like... slapdab.
Whereas Nicole Coleman,
Coughlin.
That's it. She was absolutely amazing in this Christmas special as well.
I'm getting my characters.
She's such a great little actress. As we all know in her other things that she's been in. Absolutely fantastic.
So definitely like, I know that name, and it's like, oh yes,
You know us from Derry Girls. We know us from Bridgerton.
Yes.
Oh yeah. She's got such a little personality. The next one is Fallout.
Who was that? Was that us? I've never played the games. Adrian had played the games, but we watched Fallout. I think he watched it without me, and then I watched it by myself.
I've never played the games either.
But I don't think you needed to play the games to enjoy it.
No, I really enjoyed it. It's certainly not one for Baylor. The violence is really strong.
I actually have watched the first episode that was super violent, and I was able to do it. I did watch some of it without.
It's comic book over the top.
There's
violence.
A certain... Yeah.
It's bloody and it's
I got a bit panicked at a certain point in the first episode.
But for people who don't like violence, it's probably a stretch. Yeah.
It actually got me researching all of the different games because there's all of and there's obviously, if you've played all of the games, there is a lot of stuff that you would just know. Yeah. Yeah. And so we went in blind.
Yes.
But then it was like, I'm going online and I'm researching all the different shelters that are in all the different games because there's so much lore behind it.
Yes.
It was very surprising to me, but obviously not if you know the game and story. Yeah. So, and I loved, there was the stuff all on the outside, which was great, and there was all the stuff about the gunslinger, which was awesome, but then the stuff in the shelters and all of the conspiracy and the lore behind
the Fallout
that.
Shelters.
Loved it.
What's funny with Fallout is... this segue between Doctor Who and Fallout. In the first Fallout video game that was released in the 80s, as you wander around with your character, you stumble upon a police phone box.
A TARDIS.
Hey!
And when you go to interact with it, it makes the sound, disappears, dematerializes.
He doesn't save everybody.
Is there a segue from Fallout to anime at all? Because up next, we've got Spy X Family.
No.
I know nothing about Spy X Family. What is Spy X Family?
Kenzie Chan! Can you explain Spy X Family?
It's an anime based on this family, with the father being a spy. The daughter being telepathic.
Yep.
And the mother being an assassin.
And the dog?
Can... tell the future?
Yeah. Yep.
Do each one know about the other one's abilities, or are they hiding it from each other?
They're all hiding it from each other, but the daughter knows what all their powers are.
Yes.
Yeah. So the daughter kind of spends because she's the time going, I found bad guys, man, I need to tell my mom and dad. And then they're like, oh, how did you know that was a bad guy? You can read minds?
So he keeps on like, is it going,
it's
oh
like
no, I don't want
excuses and stuff.
So how comedic is this?
It is both very comedic and very adorable.
It's an anime.
It's violent as well.
Yeah, it's a little bit violent.
It's violent to a 10-year-old, but probably not violent to an adult.
It's relatively typical anime violence. Yeah.
They recently did a movie, so it's based on an anime.
Two seasons and a manga.
Yeah.
They've got two seasons out at the moment and a movie, which I shared my Crunchyroll with Mackenzie, because we both love the show so much.
Okay, so this is a recommend.
Oh, this is a strong recommend.
I've not seen this, but this is like, okay, I definitely have to see this now.
It's
on Netflix and Crunchyroll.
If you've got family problems, then you should probably sit down and watch this because you'll love it, because this is a loving family pretending that everything's, could all fall apart, but there's still, the father goes, oh, I haven't been spending enough time with my wife. I'll bring her home this to continue the facade of a good family man. And he pushes himself so much to try and show this facade that you think there's like a little bit of a something else going on as well.
And the historical setting is almost like pre-World War II
espionage. It's really, really good. Yes.
It's set in like a fantasy alternate Europe.
Westonia.
Westovia.
Westovia?
It's west and east, but they've got a long name for it.
Santa Claus pretty much gave her mostly Spike's family merch for Christmas.
Warning though,
Santa knows what's up.
All the white people that are going to sit down and watch it, it does have a very high pitched voice for the young girl.
I mean, she just keeps going, I want to introduce it, and I'm like, I can't sit through that kid. I can't listen to that voice.
It's a baby voice because she's only like 4 or 5.
Yeah, she's pretending to be.
Voice, I mean,
it's like a really, really high pitch.
It's not like that.
It's close enough to that.
Because she's a 4-year-old pretending to be 5.
Six.
In order to be adopted. To get into a school. To get into the school.
And she manipulates people into thinking things so that she can give them the answers as well. Let's move on to another anime then. Yes. Dungeon Meshi or Delicious in Dungeons.
Delicious in Dungeons. Really good.
Yes, it is.
I think everyone's seen that.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Kenzie's
got it on her list.
It's very relaxing.
Early on, it's a very relaxing
Early on, yes. It stops being relaxing.
It's really fun.
It's got two modes of operation, doesn't it? The first one is fairly relaxing. And every now and then they find something to eat.
Yeah.
Everybody tries and goes, oh my god, this is delicious. And they show them.
Yeah, it's the adventurers and how they would survive without constant food.
It's a Japanese cooking show kind of thing.
Cooking monsters. How to cook monsters. So it gives you the recipe.
So you can get a cookbook for it.
There are people slowly making up recipes and stuff.
There is a very similar one called Drifting Dragons where they go whaling, but in the sky, and it's dragons. So it's a bit dodgy. But
we carry a harpoon. We ain't cold.
Very similar.
It's on Futurama. They go to the moon.
I remember that
episode. But it's great how into this Justin is because Angus and I were sitting down watching it on Netflix, and we got Jeanette to watch it with us while she was riding the bike. She was initially reading a book, and then she put it down and started loving it. And then she forced Justin to watch it that night. And it was so funny because they were keeping up to it and getting further ahead than we were.
As it was being released, they're watching it weekly.
They loved it.
It's just a Friday night ritual.
And there's something really wonderful about, you know, you watch a show, you love it, you introduce it to someone, and not only do they love it, but they love it and appreciate it more than you ever could have. When my dad had to have an operation, and my dad doesn't sit still, so he had to sit still for a good few weeks and rest and relax. So I gave him my Stan account and said, right, you can watch some Stan. And I was trying to find stuff to just stick on his likes. And so I put Poker Face with Natasha Lyonne, which was probably on my list last year of shows that I loved. And oh my god, every time I see him, he goes, you know that show? And I'm like, yes, I know, we've had this conversation. Oh my god, that show. It's like, oh my god. He's so, and then that got him onto Russian Doll, and then that got him onto and it's going on this loop.
We next have up Chaos.
I watched it because of your recommendation.
Hey, what did you think?
Basically, I was kind of worried because I do feel as though there's too much of a, oh, hey, this character is Eunice. Hey, guess what we're going to do with this character? Sort of a thing where it's always trying to trick us. Yeah. But I do like the way that really did twist it. It wasn't obviously we're fooling around with Greek myth just because. Yeah. So it wasn't like a completely straight story. And it wasn't like, oh, we're subverting expectations in this really weird way because we can. It definitely felt natural.
It sits in a midpoint similar to a series of unfortunate events where it's almost timeless. So you still have the cordless phones and stuff like that. But I think you have flat screen TVs. So there's no official date for where Chaos is set. But it's set in Greece, and it's set with a lot of the Greek mythology in it as well. And it's absolutely fantastic. It's well worth a watch. Yeah. They've done a good job.
I didn't like it.
When it came out, it was very polarising, wasn't it? I loved it.
To me, it just came across as too whimsical. Having just watched Thor, you know, some of those Thor ones, everybody loved them, but they were the worst to me.
You mean the Marvel Thor?
The Marvel Thor movies.
They were not good Marvel movies.
Yeah, no.
And you mean the later ones?
Yeah, the later ones.
Love and Thunder.
There was Love and Thunder.
Ragnarok.
Yeah, yeah. I just didn't like Ragnarok at all. And this just came across as Ragnarok all over again.
This is very...
Even the same characters.
I would be willing to say that this is very not plot for Ragnarok at all.
The first episode left me, because I didn't realise it was a retelling of the Greek myths. I knew it was Greek myth.
I gathered they were going to do that.
But I didn't realise they were actually taking the storylines were from real stories from Greek mythology. And the first episode, I did kind of go, what am I walking into?
Because there'd been
a few similar shows where,
I mean, maybe if I persisted, I would probably enjoy it. You might have done,
but then you might not have.
Because,
of course, it's been cancelled by Netflix.
And it ended on a cliffhanger too. As much as I recommend it, been
listening to a lot of, there's a musical called Epic the Musical, which follows the Odysseus saga. It's absolutely fantastic. It's on Spotify. I think they wrapped it up now.
That's the Odyssey, isn't it?
It's just the Odyssey. It's just the Odyssey.
It's about John Riviera.
Yeah. It's John Riviera writes all of this music and has done during COVID lockup. Got a whole heap of different artists and stuff to basically sing. So they cover a whole heap of songs. It's his version, his take of Odysseus's story. He's said multiple times, don't use this for papers or anything like that. This is a retelling, this is my version. And that's very much what Chaos is as well. And so when I sat down and watched it myself, sorry, this is a roundabout way of me saying I was already in the zone of Greek mythology. I was starting to reread a whole heap of stuff. I studied Greek in high school, Greek language and stuff like that, especially Greek mythology. It is so interesting and polarizing. And this is what Chaos does, is they've taken this story and they've told their own story, and it's really cool and interesting, their version, their take, the way they do everything. Time Bandits. Take it away, Lisa and Justin.
I love the original, and the original has been on my list to do here. Terry Gilliam movie. I always had a soft spot for me, and then we managed to uncover it probably about 15 years ago, and I'm like, this holds up, this is cool. So I was really interested to see how
they would treat it.
Is it Taika Waititi? And Jerome Clement, I think, were the ones who were behind it, and I was really interested to see how they...
Jermaine Clement.
I was really curious to see what they would do with it, but then after it came out, I think people were a bit like ho-hum, which I was really disappointed to hear. But I really want to know what you think.
Yeah, I had mixed feelings about it. I didn't mind it. It was watchable, but we sort of backgrounded it a little bit because it wasn't enough quite to hold interest on the way through.
I think
it was okay.
It was okay.
The only difference is that in the original, the historical characters were just as ridiculous as the Time Bandits themselves, whereas this, it felt like the Time Bandits were idiots and it just entered the new time period where everybody was normal and sensible. Like a bunch of idiots traveling through time being idiots rather than being smart.
In the original movie, they were cunning. They were bandits. They were stealing
They were not cunning. They
were
just lurch from scene to scene. To me, part of it was some of the complaints I had about some of these other things. Like, it felt unscripted.
Which is what he does, which I didn't like that much.
Yeah. And, you know,
he plays loosey-goosey with the script and then just goes, oh, which one's the funniest one to put out there?
And so it sort of lost me a little bit. But overall, I didn't mind it. It was okay to have on the screen.
Even still, I would love to check it out.
Yeah.
I don't know, he was involved with... Oh, it was more acting than screenwriting for Our Flag Means Death, isn't it? And that was...
I need to watch that one. Okay, we've done the group ones. Now what we'll do is go around the table and we'll just ask you some of the things you've watched and liked and disliked.
And there will be timers set.
And if you hear this noise, you know that you've gone too long.
Which is accurate, because those stories would be fun if they were 30 minutes shorter.
Exactly, very accurate. Yeah. Would you like to start, Cassandra?
I guess. I had a lot of free time, accidentally, this year, so I ended up watching a lot of stuff. Probably, the few that I started watching I haven't gone through completely yet, and I decided, hey, you know, I need more girly stories in my life, so I decided to start watching Gilmore Girls.
Oh!
And at one stage, I was basically watching an episode before I went to bed, and it was like a nice, calming presence in my life, which is really sweet.
They talk like you, too. They go a mile a minute, don't they? Like, they're over caffeinated.
Yeah. And... So,
that's a compliment. I'm not.
Yeah, thanks.
Wow, that was so mean.
Oh, no! Hang on, don't take that.
No, no, no.
Oh, that's what I'm like, too.
Yeah. One series that I wanted to see what it was like, because I hadn't had time before, was watching the original 1960s series of The Prisoner.
Oh.
And it's odd, but it's also, it's very much 1960s odd. So
when you said Prisoner, I thought you were talking about the 80s Australian TV show.
Oh, no, 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 The Prisoner. Oh, the one where they're in the village. And it's kind of weird looking at from 50 years later, just because a lot of the subversive elements of it have been kind of ripped off for so long. So it's definitely, for example, episodes where he escapes and he gets to... And it's trying to work out how much of this would have been a surprise to people at the time, because it's obvious watching, like, oh, he's going to get caught again, or this is just a trap, or it's just an illusion. So as a result, a lot of the surprising endings and surprise, it didn't really work, because it reminded me as well of the series Gravity Falls, which was definitely about mysteries and stuff. You watched it?
No. You've watched that.
Gravity Falls is good.
Yeah, Gravity Falls.
You should watch Gravity Falls.
It, strong recommend.
Yeah, and it just reminded me, oh, this Gravity Falls is definitely a series where there's mysteries to find out. And by comparison, the mysteries of this show, it either felt predictable or it didn't resolve itself. So the end of the episode just basically ends, and reading about it afterwards, about the creator basically almost being a dick to say, haha, we're not ending the series properly, just to piss off people. So...
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so it's interesting enough to watch, but it's definitely not really one I can recommend unless it's curious as to how you're going to be countercultural or subversive for the time. Probably the most interesting thing would be the aesthetic of it all, because the village where it's set is this weird...
They used it in Doctor Who, the episode with Sarah Jane, Tom Baker, where they're supposedly in medieval Italy.
If you're curious about the aesthetics, but really interesting, so watching it just for that might be a fun time. Yeah, the other series I've watched during November, for reasons that I don't think people need to be told, I decided, instead of watching the horrible real-life political stuff, I decided to watch a nice, fun, utopian style of politics by watching The Thick of It. And actually, I hadn't seen Veep yet, and watching both Veep and The Thick of It is kind of weird, because it's a big difference between American and British styles of humour.
It's the American version, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
And it definitely feels like Veep, everybody's an idiot, but lovable. Think of it, everybody's an idiot, but loathable. So it feels like, well, I thought it was a good analogy, it's like...
Which is like The Office UK and US.
Yeah, it's like the comparison of Veep. They make mistakes like dog hasn't been potty trained yet, dog hasn't been toilet trained yet. Whereas, think of it, is like an 8-year-old committing war crimes.
Yeah, jeez.
So it's definitely like, getting from one to the other, it's like everybody's horrible and misanthropic versus everybody's horrible because they're just incompetent. And so it's a very different style of series. I also convinced myself to watch an episode of Yes Minister. I did not want to watch any more of Yes Minister. It's smug as heck. I did not want to watch any more of that. I think I'll finish off the list of stuff I've watched with Severance. Have you heard of it?
Severance?
Yes.
Ooh, I've heard that's dark.
It is dark. Like, basically, the first episode gave me psychological damage. So the first episode... It's a good series, but... So,
oh, it's Adam Scott from Parks and Rec.
Yeah, no. So the first episode...
Is this spoilery?
It's not that spoilery, but basically the concept is you have a chip implanted in your brain. So there's a personality of yourself that's at work. And a personality of yourself that's outside of work.
Oh, yes, that one, yes.
Yes, so first episode, a woman wakes up at work, and because she's got no memories outside of work, so she's come out of existence. And the best thing is, she tries to escape, but the second she does, her outside personality takes over and goes back into work again. So you see, I want to get out of here, gets out and finds herself back inside the office again. And yeah, it's very, very psychologically torturous, especially some episodes. One episode, basically, she grabs the guillotine used to cut a piece of paper and basically says, get me out of here or I'll use it against myself. Because, of course, her outside self wouldn't want that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's a very good, well-written series, but it's very psychologically damaging.
Yeah, because that's interesting.
I don't want to give any more details because it spoils it, but it's definitely...
A little bit cyberpunk, that one.
Very cyberpunk.
Anna Scott's character is the main character because it's the only character we see both inside and outside of work. Mm. And so I would get to see those like inside of work and outside of work and try to explain as to why you would want to take a job like that. Mm. And it's also how his inside work character, is trying to not necessarily escape, because if you do escape, your personality is white. Like, the second you quit, you... And it's also, have a guess at the things that you can't do at work. And now, considering that you're always at work, the things you can never do ever again.
Yeah.
So, say you can't fraternise with colleagues, therefore, there's like a romance between characters that can never be satisfied because they're not allowed to, because it's a work setting.
Yeah.
And it's very, very... psychologically damaging is a bit of an exaggeration, but it's definitely one where if you're in a wrong mindset, you will come out of it not wanting to watch anymore because you're just so flawed because of the experiences that these characters have to work forever.
Next, Mackenzie, do you have any things that you watched this year that you think are fantastic or terrible?
My first one would be Has Been Hotel.
Has Been Hotel.
Has Been.
Has Been.
H-A-Z-B-I-N, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, kiddo.
Has Been Hotel is about where Lucifer's daughter wants to run a hotel for sinners to redeem themselves so that they won't die in the extermination that the angels run.
So I think it's like the angels every so many years or whatever, the angels come down and exterminate.
Every year.
Every year they come down and exterminate all of the sinners in hell. And so so the daughter's like, well, if I run this hotel to give them redemption, if they can go back up to heaven, then the balance will get restored and they don't need to come down and kill all the overflows.
So Charlie's girlfriend helps her do it as well, and she has an overlord to help her called Alistair, which is a radio demon. And Charlie has this meeting with Adam, and he says that the time has been cut short to 6 months until extermination.
So there's kind of this encroaching deadline of
Right.
So would you recommend this for kids your age?
It's MI-15, so no.
Okay. So Kenzie watched this show, and she was telling me how awesome it was, and she needed to introduce it to us. And we watched it and went, oh, my God, we are the worst parents ever. How did you watch this?
This is the problem. There's a lot of cartoons are suddenly becoming more and more adult. It's becoming an adult entertainment movie.
There is adult themes, sex references, drug references, prolific swearing. It is
the whole 300 swear words in it.
Yeah.
You just need to watch Clone Wars. Clone Wars is good.
It's not even that as well. It goes through adult relationships and touches very heavily on other very heavy topics.
There was an episode I actually felt really uncomfortable. Not so much, I mean, obviously uncomfortable because my daughter was watching it, but as a woman, I felt very very uncomfortable. Oh. And it was about toxic relationships and potential assaults and things like that. We had to have a very special episode where we kind of sat down and had a very big conversation about the episode. And she's just like, I watched it a couple of times, like, just leave me alone.
But here's the thing, right, is, like, you've sat down and you've talked with Mackenzie about this sort of relationship now, and Mackenzie has been exposed to this sort of thing, which, bringing it so heavily into media, especially into childlike media, means that she may, going forward, go, no.
Yes.
Yeah. I am worth more than what you are giving me right now.
Yeah. Or at least help your friends if they find themselves in a similar relationship. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure most of the soundtrack made it onto your top 10 Spotify rap list. Yeah,
fan-made.
Nice.
But lots of fan-made music that comes out as well.
Mm. Okay.
Next one?
Next one is WandaVision.
So we watched it when it first came out. And
I really liked WandaVision.
Yeah, you go.
So WandaVision is about this couple that moves into a house, and the first episode is based on the 50s. What show is it based on, though?
Dick Van Dyke Show, Donna
Reed.
For
the 50s.
Yeah.
Bewitched. That's the next episode, that's right.
Yeah.
And each theme song is different because it's based on a different decade.
So it progresses through the decades, doesn't it?
Yeah. And spoiler alert, they find out that Wanda is the one controlling the whole show and making certain things happen.
I haven't seen it. How dare you spoil it?
You're fine. Baylor doesn't like Wanda.
I don't.
And also, Wanda gets pregnant and she has these kids, but they become 5-year-olds in a few minutes.
Yep.
And so, after that, they found a dog and the boys wanted to have it, but Wanda said, you have to be 10 to have a dog. And they turned 10. And then she loses the boys, and her neighbour, Agatha, says, oh, I think they're in the basement. And she goes down to the basement, and Agatha says, you're not the only girl that has magic.
Secretly
and then
evil.
She's the one that's been messing up stuff.
So good.
Now Agatha All Along. There's a new show called Agatha All Along.
I said I really want to re-watch WandaVision before I watch Agatha All Along. Next show.
I think I'm going to do Russian Doll.
Yeah, no, this is bad parenting 101.
Oh, yeah.
But great shows.
Yeah. I was like 5 when Justin and Jeanette started putting me through Blackadder and Black Books and stuff, and they have a lot of like drug and they're constantly drinking booze and cigarettes and
yeah
but at the same time your parents edited out the scary scene where Elizabeth enters the Black Pearl.
So Russian Doll
is about Nadia, and she's experiencing her 40th birthday,
30-something's birthday. Yeah,
35th birthday, I think. And then she goes out with this guy, and then she goes across this road, and she gets killed. But then she wakes up at the party.
Oh, I know this show. I thought it sounded familiar. Yes. It was really cool. I had to watch it in my writing class when I was at uni. Oh, absolutely fantastic. Yeah. What was the name of it?
Russian Doll.
Russian Doll.
Yeah.
It's on Netflix.
So the first season's like Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
And then the second season is a time travel season.
Ooh.
Oh, I didn't realize it was time travel.
Where they time travel to the parents or grandparents.
Totally, totally recommend.
Yeah, and everything changes. People go out of the party. She arrives and there's less people. Or she goes to the store, fruits for moldy. And it gets really cool.
That sounds like
the
fun.
The time loops deteriorating everything around it.
And you recommend all those shows then?
Yeah, I'm going to do a series of unfortunate events because it's a good one to explain. At the start of the series of unfortunate events, the Baudelaire children find out that their parents have been killed in a fire, so they get sent to a foster parent.
Yeah.
It's this guy that wanted to be in these plays, an actor. Yeah.
Count Olaf. Is this the movie or the TV show?
TV show.
How good is it, though?
It's so good. I've watched the whole show.
Neil Patrick Harris, who has kids and played Count Olaf, apparently spent most of his mornings sitting in his chair, FaceTiming his children, one minute being a normal person, and the next minute it's like, oh, hey, Dad, oh, you're a lady today. That's cool. Hey, Dad, you do not look like Count Olaf today. It was very jarring for them because they constantly saw him in just different costumes and outfits and stuff.
All the different prosthetics. Yeah.
And so after they find out that Count Olaf has been really rude to them by marrying Violet, which is under the age of 18, and they locked the baby in a cage dangling off a window, they get sent to another place, which is their uncle's house. So they go to all of these houses to try to escape Count Olaf. But he's just chasing them and their fortune.
Yeah. Nice.
So, you all done?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Ready, Lisa?
All right.
I'm going to start timing Lisa now.
Yep.
3, 2, 1, go.
Cool. I think I brought this up earlier in the year, but we watched a show called Future Man, which is really bizarre. It's one that's written by Seth Rogen.
So it's a cartoon or is it?
No, real life, live action. And it's this guy, he finishes this computer game and then he's summoned by the characters in the computer game who are from the future to come and help them on their quest. But they don't realise, they think that people who play video games are actually doing the action in real life, and they don't realise that he's like a schlub janitor who has actually no skills with any of the things he's done in video games.
Right.
And he just spirals from there.
Right.
And he just gets more and more and more twisted, and it is really not suitable for children. It's a lot of fun. It is hilarious, but it is really mind-bendy as well.
Okay.
Totally recommend. That one's on Prime.
What one was that one called again?
Future Man.
Nice.
Second one we watched was a show called Mr. Mercedes, which is an adaptation of a Stephen King novel. And it's actually each season is one of the novels from the series. And it's about this guy who there was like a job fair and there's all these people lined up waiting to get into this job fair. And this guy steals a Mercedes and runs the car through the crowd. And then the cop who basically investigated it and it broke him. The guy, this Mr. Mercedes, is then taunting him after he's retired from the police force.
That with the actor from...
Brendan Gleeson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that Irish actor. And he is...
Mad-Eye Moody.
Yes. And he is actually incredible in it. There are some scenes, because he's just this old, broken, drunken ex-detective, And there's scenes where he is angry in the car and he is literally just banging the car, smashing the car, screaming, and he's such a good actor.
I really liked season one of that. I never got to season two.
Well, what I would actually recommend is if you can watch season one, you will absolutely love it. If you watch season two and three, you will never be more disappointed in your whole life.
It started getting a little bit too Stephen King, like a little bit it's too, this guy's suddenly psychic. And,
And so it's season two, it suddenly goes a bit Stephen King, and you've been watching a true crime thriller, it goes a little bit woo-woo, which is fine if you were expecting woo-woo, but it just pivots so quickly and wrongly that it...
Season one's awesome though.
Season one,
and it has a good conclusion. Like it ends the story. It should have just ended.
So many shows should just be one season. Yeah.
Another one we watched recently, Three Body Problem.
Yep.
It was alright.
Yeah, I've watched Three Body Problem. Yeah.
It was alright. It wasn't as awesome as
I
thought it would be.
I actually liked it a lot. Well, I'm into hard sci-fi and sort of Carl Sagan and Cosmos and all those kinds of things.
I've heard even more about the series or even the series it's about.
Okay, the series, it's about first alien contact. It was caused by someone on Earth, and they know that they're coming in 60 years or something like this, but there's all the time prior to the 60 years where things are happening and the aliens are able to affect Earth, but it's all very hard sci-fi. It's all done in a way that is realistic, and the time when someone causes that to happen is, for me, just nail biting. No, don't do that.
I got up and screamed when that happened. I couldn't believe it.
You just can't believe that this person is about to literally destroy the human species.
And they knew what they were doing.
And didn't care.
It's all right. I think it was. There was a lot of hype around it. I think season two's been greenlit. Next one, there was a show called Surreal Estate. I found it on SBS, SciView.
Mm-hmm.
It is a Canadian show. It has, for those of you who know Schitt's Creek, it's got Twyla and Mutt from Schitt's Creek. The waitress and Alexis's boyfriend in it. Basically, it's these real estate agents who specialise in haunted houses. So their job is to go in there, try and neutralise it, with the goal of getting it sold at a good price.
What was it called again?
Surreal Estate. So they've got their tech guy who goes in there, they've got their researcher who's a former priest, and then you've got the girl who's Twyla on Schitt's Creek. She's like the peppy sales girl. She's like the straight guy who goes in there and talks to the clients and puts them all at ease, and then the guy who's Mutt on Schitt's Creek, he's like that, you know, gritty, chiseled, I've seen some stuff kind of guy. So really good to see a good Canadian show, and it's kind of that cross between a procedural type show where we've got to get the client in and all the rest of it, but then also with that sci-fi element. Sex Education. Recommended that to me, and I smashed out, was it three seasons? I smashed them all out.
What do you think of the final season?
The final season was a hard
I didn't enjoy it,
but it got through it, and because I was like, I wanted the resolution, but I didn't really like the resolution too much from the other. But so you could pretty much finish just before the last season, and it would have been okay. But it was a really good show, and I actually enjoyed it. And I had some late nights because I had to watch the next one.
How great was Nshuti in that, though?
So good.
Fell
so
in love.
Yes. And there was lots of characters on there that I absolutely loved.
A lot of self-sabotaging, which always makes a show great.
One of my favourites, who she's starting to pop up in a bit of stuff now, is it Amy Lou Wood, the friend? She's lovely. At first I kind of went, who's this bird? And then I was just like, I love her. She's a ray of sunshine, and then she goes through some shit, but she really, I loved her plot line through. That was probably the best thing about that last season.
I love the cupcakes.
Her working through everything. So then we just finished watching a show on Netflix that just came out called A Man on the Inside. If you like The Good Place...
It's got the same writer.
Oh, yes. I've seen the trailers for that. That looks good.
Ted Danson is a retired engineer who's at a bit of a loss. He's a widower, doesn't know what to do with himself, and he takes up a job working for a detective who's trying to investigate in a retirement home. And yeah, he actually finds that zest for life that he needed. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of the same actors from Good Place will pop up. And a lot of the some actors from Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Beatrice plays the retirement home operator. And it's lovely. It's a really great, warm, fuzzy show. And then I will just follow in the last 2 minutes. I do want to talk about a really dark period that happened in my life this year when I got sick and watched all of those Hallmark movies. And then I think something happened in my brain chemistry and I suddenly went, Hallmark Christmas movies, what a great idea.
Did Adrian sit you down to watch a whole heap of Lindsay Lohan stuff as well?
It
wasn't a whole heap, it was the Irish Wish.
And I think he watched some other ones without us while we were out here doing podcast recordings. He was watching some others. But I think what I fell in love with was A Castle for Christmas, I think it was called, which was Brooke Shields and Kerry Elwes in a Scottish castle, happily ever after. And some other ones about Christmas inheritances and Christmas, one where a knight comes
They've all melded in together.
Oh man, I was delirious.
Is it all just one big show now?
Also, a big shout out to the Palace Nova Monday Doubles, which we managed to catch a few of those this year, and they were a treat. They've got some really good ones coming up this year. So some epic movies, some good horror movies. They're doing a whole month of Monday Doubles. There's some good ones. 36 seconds to go.
Incredible.
Angus, do better.
Oh, gosh.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Pew!
So I watched one episode of Deep Space Nine that I hated. two seasons of the original series, which I loved. A Greatest American Hero. I watched the first season of that and some of the second season. Yeah. Really enjoyed that. Sorry, you said do better. I've still got 9 minutes 40 seconds, so I figured I'd...
And he's going to spend all of that on the worst possible...
No. I really did enjoy those previous ones, but minus the Deep Space Nine. I really enjoyed Greatest American Hero and Star Trek Original Series. But I finally got Baylor to sit down and watch Code Geass this year, which I really, really love. It's one of my favourite anime shows.
What, all 40 ever. Episodes?
Yeah, all 50. 50 yeah.
episodes.
All 50
episodes. Absolutely fantastic.
It's really good. Mm. And I wish more people watched it, because it's really, really good.
What's it about?
It's very political.
So it's basically the Britannian Empire's taken over most of the world, and there's three superpowers left on the world. There's the Britannian Empire, there's the European Union, they use, and then there's China and like a couple of Asian countries sort of thing. I can't remember what they're all called. And it's set in Japan, and basically the Britannian Empire has invaded Japan, and it's 15 years on, and this Britannian prince in hiding that's been in Japan since the war kicked off, that was abandoned by their family, basically swears revenge on the Britannian Empire and wants to kill his father, the Emperor, and destroy the Britannian Empire. And he's a bit of a military nerd, and he gets a superpower, which basically allows him to tell someone to do something, and then they follow the order, enchants them to perform a task. And, yeah, he proceeds to use that and manipulate people and do all sorts of dodgy things to basically, get his revenge. And it is a very, very fun story. So it's set in kind of like a slightly futuristic society where everything's mostly modern, except all the combat happens instead of in tanks and jets and stuff like that, because it's an anime. You've got to have it be a bit more dynamic than that. It all takes place in mechas. It's the
Of course
anime.
It does.
Yeah, of course it does. It is my favourite anime for a reason. A lot of people have it in their top tens, and other people will just outright say it is the best. It's got the best anime ending.
It comes in the top three generally between Cowboy Bebop, Berserk, and this.
Yeah. For me personally, it's this and Berserk.
And Cowboy Bebop.
Baylor brought that 2 years ago.
I'd say storyline wise, yes. It is definitely
Cowboy Bebop is very stylistically impressive.
Bebop is beautiful every other way.
Yes, it really is. But Code Geass has an excellent story.
Yeah.
The only downside is season 2 gets a little bit fan servicey. Uh-huh. So some of the shots of particularly the female characters is particularly dodgy.
Yeah.
But baby shots.
Yeah. I'm unaware of how animated works.
Yeah.
I also like the fact I read about how all the panty shots in...
it's not quite that bad.
No. It's that joke how all the panty shots in Dajimeshi were all of Senshi.
Yes.
Yeah, that was good.
It's not as bad as High School DxD.
One that I'm really excited for next year, though, I want to introduce Baylor to it. It's been on my list for so long, is Kingdom. It's long in terms of manga. There's an anime series coming out for it that's out. I don't even know where. I think it's on Crunchyroll, maybe on Netflix. But there's also live-action movies that are really, really good and have basically every single release of the live-action movie has hit top charts in Japan. It's been beating out movies like Werewolf, Wolverine, and Deadpool.
Yep.
They're really good. And there's four of them, and I'm excited for the fifth. And I want to show Baylor just all of it, really. But that's about the unification of China. So it's the first emperor of China. I've talked about it so many times. Yes. I absolutely love it. It is good fun. It's historical, but it's kind of a little bit of a historical interpretation.
Yep.
So there's certain events that aren't well documented, and the authors kind of filled in the blanks with how they think it should work, and they've embellished certain things to make the characters seem more heroic or more evil in some instances. And most of them everyone was already familiar with, because the original series of Star Trek is there. I don't think we've... Have we done Greatest American Hero with the
book? Yes, we have.
People know that as well.
Okie dokie. Try and make this short, sharp and shiny, but I do actually have a couple more than Angus. So Angus and I both together have watched The Rookie and Nobody Wants This. The Rookie is a Nathan Fillion cop show. Nobody Wants This, amazing Jewish rom-com. Fantastic. That's really, really good.
It stars
good reviews when it comes.
It stars the woman from The Good Place.
Kristen Bell. And then
Eleanor.
We also watched Bridgerton together. Yes. Season 3 came out. Absolutely fantastic. Oh my God. Pollen.
Yeah.
Amazing match. Fantastic.
Yeah.
ending to the season.
What were your thoughts on
Bridgerton?
I'm not excited for season 4. They've done the thing now. Who's next?
And also, I should have mentioned Bridgerton was one of the series I watched.
You started from scratch with Bridgerton.
Bridgerton, it is fun.
It's made for the female gaze as well. Yeah. So it's very warm, happy, friendly.
Yeah, and very giving of the gentleman as well.
I had a very long conversation with one of my interstate co-workers about the chaise lounge, and I'm like, I feel like this is getting into unprofessional territory. We need to stop talking about the chaise lounge.
But also their costume design is absolutely amazing, because they go around the world to get everything that they want. Absolutely fantastic, everything to do with it. Watched Exploding Kittens, fantastic TV show.
Exploding Kittens, that was on my list.
Awesome. It's really good. It's from the person that creates Exploding Kittens, the board game. Basically, God Cat, Devil Cat, and their existence on Earth.
God has been banished
to
Earth.
Adrian and I weren't as excited about it, but she loved it.
We weren't really excited about it
when we saw it. We're like, oh, this is going to be pretty mid. And then we watched it and really enjoyed
it. It's really, really good. It was very good writing and very funny. Moriarty the Patriot. Strong recommend to watch.
Oh, that's an anime, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an anime. Watched it. It's basically how Moriarty set up Sherlock Holmes to be the hero of London. And so it's all from Moriarty's point of view. And he's basically gone, this place is disgusting. England needs to be better. We need to destroy the class divide. So he is a criminal for hire, a consulting criminal, basically going, I will do bad things and then bring them into the spotlight by using Sherlock Holmes.
Ooh.
And so the entire thing is him doing evil things knowingly because he thinks that that's the right thing to do to destroy this class divide.
Wow.
It's really, really good. It's fantastic. If you get a chance to watch it, strongly recommend. Bee and Puppycat, absolutely fantastic. It came out on Netflix. I think it was this year, possibly last year. I can't remember.
Last year.
In that case, this was my last year pick because I watched it immediately when it came out. Then I watched a bucket load of anime, mostly romance stuff. So The Ancient Magus's Bride, Banished from Heroes Party, and Sign of Affection, which is amazing. They got Korean sign language people and basically animated Korean sign and created a love story where a boy who just is a polyglot falls in love with a woman who cannot speak or cannot hear, and everything from her point of view, there is no sound whatsoever, and it's all just sign and subtitles.
I love that.
And it's really, really nice. Then we've got My Love Story with Yamada Kuna at level 999. Girl gets onto an MMO, falls in love with a guy, eventually joins a guild. It's really cute. I love anime romance. It is just so fresh and wonderful. And then we also watched Wicked, the movie, which is 10 out of 10, absolutely amazing. Stunning. It's all live recorded, so they don't go into a studio, record it, and then go onto set to lip sync.
Pretend.
Yeah. They sing everything live. They do everything as on stagey, production-y wise as possible. Everything is built from the ground up. Yes, Mackenzie.
Cynthia, the person that does the Elphaba, she was doing the flying machine while she was singing.
Yeah, I know. Absolutely incredible. This woman is amazing. If you love just production-wise things, Wicked is the movie to watch. If you love just
magic
or musicals or anything, absolutely amazing. I also started watching Miracle Workers.
And yes!
Fantastic. We all know how I feel about B5. I've been watching some of the animated Batman series as well. But I'm at 5 minutes 24, so I've done better than all of you. Jeanette!
Okay, well, mine's going to be very short. I'm going to try and beat you, Baylor. So I haven't really watched anything except for the things we already discussed, Delicious in Dungeon and Doctor Who. I've watched a lot of movies this year. One that did occur to me to mention was Banshees of Inisherin with Brendan Gleeson, which was really good. I don't know if it's quite cult TV, but it was certainly excellent. June 2, we went to see it at cinema, Boy and the Heron. Very disappointing, not because of the film, but because of the cinema and people talking and laughing.
And laughing throughout the film, yeah.
Totally nothing to do with the movie. And just, I've rewatched a couple of things. I rewatched Dark, which was fantastic.
Oh, I've got that on my list.
And I loved it so much. We watched some Blake 7, which was fun. That's it. That's me.
more pantomime.
I believe Jeanette is the winner of today.
Well, not yet. Not yet.
Try and get your own standalone episode this year.
All right, 3, 2, 1, bam.
Okay, so of course I've watched many of the things that we discussed earlier in the group thing were the highlights. And so what remains is largely the dregs, which is a bit of a warning off list. However, there are some standouts. For me, one of the big ones was the final series of For All Mankind. Well, this is hard sci-fi, but it's political hard sci-fi in the space race. It starts out with the Russians being the first to land a woman on the moon, or a human on the moon, and basically, it's the fallout from all of that throughout the following decades. So it's series one, is in the Apollo era. It's an alternate universe, but it's set in the real world. You know, everything else is the same. So it's this space race, and there are all the characters involved. Some have big lapses as they're going through and barely survive. There are all sorts of terrible things that occur, you know, things blowing up and people dying and overall, the main thread of it is these people that are essentially sacrificing for the future. Some of the things they do that completely screw over all the nations to end up furthering human exploration of space rather than the big nations getting exactly what they want is fantastic. It just works so well. And at the very end of watching the final series, you're just going, oh my god, that was this person is amazing what they did.
And it's so what was that one called again?
That's For All Mankind. It is real world, set in the space race. They end up on Mars much earlier than we do because the space race keeps on going.
Yes.
It doesn't stop because the Russians got there first. That makes it a fantasy for me because I grew up in that period where I expected it all to happen and never did. Anyway, so are there any non-clangers here? Umbrella Academy I finished watching and I thought that was quite good. It's not brilliant, but it's quirky and funny. It gets a bit surreal at the end, which is all okay. Good comedy. Now for clangers. Nautilus. Oh my god. It sort of began okay.
Nautilus. I saw Nautilus. That one.
I'd look over at his screen and go, oh, what is this dross that you're watching? It just looks dreadful. Wow. There's other series I'll look over and go, oh, that looks good. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's all set in the Edwardian era.
Which is that Jules Verne
era. But it doesn't feel like that. None of the characters are like that. It's all very modern.
Something wrong with the cinematography. The costuming was sort of just not quite right.
The people who involved obviously just didn't get it. Three body problem we discussed. Now two more big clangers from
Adrian loves From
and La Brea. From is almost based purely on those fringe episodes where they go into a town and they drive out the other side and they end up back at the beginning of the town. Yeah. So they're stuck in the town.
Mm. And there's this kind of weird ghosty zombie thing.
And that's NBC. And NBC also produced this, which is based on Lost, really.
Well, it's the same makers.
It's the same makers as Lost. Yeah. They swore black and blue that there was going to be a plot to it. There was no plot to it. It's just going to go on and on. For La Brea, a bunch of people fall down a sinkhole and end up 10,000 years in the past. And it's just...
I saw it come up on Netflix or Stan or something.
It's almost like Lost again. It's just...
Land of the Lost.
So NBC clangers. So, Delicious in Dungeon, fantastic. Mm-hmm. This is where my heretic nature comes in. Mm-hmm. I have a terrible tendency to watch the live-action version of anime things.
Why? You watched that One Piece one, did you?
I watched Cowboy Bebop, which, which actually was okay, but it's not the original series. So, yeah. And the other one I watched was Last Airbender. I've been beaten up for watching the movie.
Didn't watch the Netflix live action. Justin watched the M. Night Shyamalan
movie. I watched that and got slapped around for that. And then I watched the recent series as well. And I still haven't watched the original thing. So I'll get there one day.
I'm very not okay with making a live-action version of an anime.
Yeah.
So, same as the Disney one. The only one
that I will accept is actually The Little Mermaid and making Ariel black.
And setting in the Caribbean.
Yeah, because you've entirely changed that story.
Yeah.
Right? And you've made it more positive for people. But the problem is that they're recreating all of these other shows, doing a live-action version, and they're trying to keep it very close to what it was, and they're not adding the representation or anything like that.
Mm.
And it's kind of turning around to adults and going, anime's for kids, but live-action's for adults, so here's an adult version. It's worse. It's more churned down for, I guess, the mush brains.
Yeah.
And I really hate that.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that's you done at 29 seconds.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Okay. That's Cult TV Club, done. See you.
Good to see what's going to happen in 2025.
Yeah.
So 2025.
Happy watching.
Yes. Happy watching.
Now I've got lots of stuff to watch.
Bye. My name's Lisa.
That's Lisa does that. Come on.
This